Sales Magic is the podcast hosted by Jackie Lyles, best-selling author, champion innovator, and an industry leader in creating growth strategies to accelerate sales and attract and retain employees. Using her proprietary qualification approach, Jackie shares proven techniques to help you navigate through change, increase your sales, and transform your results. Jackie learned how to keep recreating herself and will show you how to tap into your own magic and your own unique power to innovate. Enjoy this episode.
Hi, it's Jackie Lyles. Welcome to Sales Magic. Today, we have Chris Raspberry with us. Chris, welcome.
Hey, Jackie. Nice to be with you. How are you doing?
I'm great. It's good to talk to you. Chris and I have met doing a workshop, so we're committed learners. He and I both are always on that journey of learning, and I wanted to tell you a little bit about Chris. So Chris Raspberry is the director of the Install Base Sales Experience and Platform Lead for Global Sales Planning and Programs of the Sales Experience for Hewlett-Packard Enterprise. He's an amazing person. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about him. In this role, he leads a team that delivers the data and the CRM tool capabilities that help drive activation for technology refresh, service contract renewals, and green light consumption for sellers and channel partners at HPE. Prior to joining HPE, 7 years ago, Chris spent 17 years in the capital markets industry, working both in the U.S. and Japan, serving in a variety of operations, human resources, and sales positions. He's also a military veteran, having served in the United States Navy from 1993 to 1997. So, Chris, thank you for your service.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And you're currently doing something that's a wild adventure. You're in the early stages. This is your first month to earn a Doctor of Business Administration from the University of Dallas. So, Chris, I'm going to let you know, what did we leave out? Who is Chris Raspberry?
Hey, appreciate it. So, yeah, I'm from Houston, Texas, originally. Grew up here and, decided that I wanted to have an adventure of life. And so I did go to school for a couple of years. I was studying psychology, and I realized that I just wanted to have more than just graduate and work in Houston, Texas. I love Houston, but I really had this itch to go see the world. And so the best way for me to do that at the time was to join the Navy. And I got to, I was stationed in Japan. I got to see most of the Middle East and most of Asia during that time period, and really opens your eyes as a young person about, kind of cultures and what's out there. I continued on after military service. I stayed in Japan. I met my wife of, 25 almost years. And, we have three kids, one in college now at UT. I have one in high school and one that is entering middle school pretty soon. But I stayed in Japan for a while. I just fell in love with the culture, kid of the 80s, really just enjoyed, all of that, mystery. And then you get there and you realize it's not that mysterious. But I learned Japanese. I speak fairly fluent Japanese, have really good relationships with our family there. We visit them every year. Earned an MBA during my working time, partly when I was at Morgan Stanley in Tokyo. Also did an executive MBA at Temple University, had professors fly in. And I've always just really loved learning. That was my big driver of learning what's out there in the world. That's what drove me to go see other cultures. And so, I continuously strive to continue to explore and be very curious. I'm very curious in nature. And so the reason that I really want to go into this doctorate program, I reviewed, six or seven institutions and landed on University of Dallas. I really appreciate the Catholic University aspect of teaching. It's a small cohort, about 7 or 8 people. And I'm really looking forward to, just learning and researching on particular topics that help, business grow and continue to thrive and help where I can, as a consultant later on in life. It's kind of my exit strategy from corporate world, here in the next, 5 to 7 years. So that's a little bit more about me. But we're glad to be here today with you and share some of my experience with your audience.
Oh, Chris, thank you so much. I am also a curious bear. I'm someone that's always curious, always wonder why and how things work and how to make them better and how to do some things for the first time. So, you know, I think that's our kindred connection, that we have that connection. So we have some rapid fire questions. Get started into sales magic. And I'm going to say two words, and you pick the word that best describes you. So are you ready?
I am ready.
Great. Morning or evening?
Morning.
Outdoors or indoors?
Outdoors.
Adventure or chill?
Adventure.
Truck or car?
This was hard. I drive a car, but I want a truck, so I'm going to say truck.
Okay. Talk or listen?
Listen.
Yeah, you are a great listener.
There are a myriad of important elements to sales, but one that might not be on your sales team's radar is how to fall in love with your customers. Connection is an integral part of the sales experience, and understanding this alongside the major business outcomes is critical to seeing the outcome that you're going for. The Business Champion Sales Method Program equips modern sales professionals with all of the information and the support that they need to become sales superstars. All you have to do to get started is to reach out to us to learn more or sign up for the Business Champion Sales Method today.
I think about, you know, Chris, the workshop that we attended, that was one where we got to listen to each other and think about new creative approaches in our life and building a different kind of life plan. And it was so helpful, but I know that you're all about business too. And that plan was about our business too. So what's the biggest business challenge you're facing right now in your current role at HPE?
Yeah, that's a great question. Right now, there's just such an explosion of data. And I'm talking specifically sales data, right? That sellers really rely on this information, our install base, whether it be products or services that we previously sold to customer. We really need to make sure that we are addressing all of the install base that we've had have sold to customers previously and give the opportunity to either refresh that technology or transition to as a service solutions. So we have such a big explosion of data. And also my company's over the past few years has gone through pretty robust IT transformation in its enterprise planning systems. And so that has created a situation where we have some data that's stranded that is not reflecting in our new systems. And that is my biggest challenge to solve right now is to make sure, like, how do I get all of that data into the right buckets so that sellers can see and address. But yeah, it's a big explosion of data right now that I think all companies are grappling with. And, you know, it's something that we all have to just get our heads around and get our arms around and tackle to the ground for sellers.
I agree. As you know, we do a lot of work with quite a few of your partners. And so when you're out in the field, you realize how much the sellers need the data. They need to know what's really going on. So I've seen that again and again and again. And so what is the most urgent issue that you think you have that you believe you have in front of you?
I think of it as a challenge, the opportunities and challenges. So I think the opportunity that we have is that we are in an increasingly competitive marketplace for data, cloud storage, and we are also shifting strategies from, the typical manufacturer of servers and racks and contracts and solutions to as a service solutions. And so we have, we're making a lot of great strides in our key product GreenLake, but our most urgent issue is how do we make that transition as quickly as possible. It's also an area of interest for me from my research dissertation is how does a typical manufacturing company make that switch to as a service, given that you can't leave behind your legacy business because you can't afford to do that. But at the same time, you have to quickly catch up and transition and be competitive in this whole new space. I think a lot of companies are really grappling with that right now. So that is the urgent challenge of the business. My personal urgent challenge is how do I, as we make this pivot and transition to this new model, how do I help keep the existing legacy business robust and afloat with the data that we have available and the sales motions that we have so that, you know, we don't sort of sink the whole ship and, you know, pivot too quickly without, you know, leaving behind a lot of business. So that's kind of one of the areas that I'm charged with solutioning right now.
Oh, that's fascinating. You know, we've done a lot of initiatives with very technical sales organizations that did manufacturing.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we did, which was very helpful, is to start with a customer conversation. And that was unusual, you know. And I remember one electrical engineer, his name was Jim. He played the recording. We did this recording with customers, these really in-depth conversations. And he played one 14 times because he couldn't believe what the customer was saying. Because he'd always, you know, worked with only this engineering group. He'd never broken out of his shell of other budgets that he might access. He'd always stuck with one group. Mm-hmm. So those customer conversations, what they did is it helped drive executive change. But the toughest change is that middle directors, those middle managers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, it's not the people who are vocally against you that you have to worry about. I think Price Pritchett has written a lot of real small, quick books on change. And he has one called U Squared. And he's in his 80s and still very active writing about change and change initiatives. He's out of Dallas. And one of his concepts is there's three groups in every change initiative. They're the gung-ho, you know, people that they're driving it, leading it, whatever you say, man, they're on board. And you got to have those people. They're the early adopters. But then you have this middle ground, people who could go either way. They're the most important. And then you have the 10% that will never change. Forget it. They're not going to be for you. They're going to be against you. And they can take up all your energy. So we were doing this change initiative, and I told the vice president of sales and marketing, a big manufacturing company, I said, we can't focus on the naysayers. We have to just let them be. We've got to focus on the superstars and the people who could convince that middle ground folks to change. And that was very successful, and it was hard. The president of the operating division was from New York, and he said, you didn't sugarcoat it too much. We were concerned because you're from Texas. we thought you might sugarcoat it, but you didn't too much. They were making all kinds of accusations about my ability to hit the hard points, but I did. I did it in a way, but I used the customer's voice. And so it wasn't me saying it, it was the customer saying it. And that helped our team. But it's constant, you know. And so what is the secret to your sales magic?
Well, I feel like kind of what you were just talking about a little bit. My secret is engage and execute. I'm very execution focused and personally get frustrated when I don't sense that in others. So maybe the naysayer group that you referenced earlier, you know, and I would say that I'm definitely in the early adopter phase or group there. And sometimes maybe on that leading edge of, well, let's make sure we're not going to do something that's going to hurt the customer or hurt the business, first of all. But, you know, that is one of the areas that I also am interested in researching is how do we create enterprise entrepreneurs that You know, if you, what you just described to me is basically putting my psychology hat on is the bell curve of human nature, right? And you've got most of your people in the middle who they're all their average, and then you've got the bottom and the top. And, you know, I think that a lot of that stems from maybe a personality's own way of thinking. Maybe they're risk averse. Maybe they're afraid to lose their job. Maybe they don't have a lot of confidence. Whereas, you know, this early adopter group, they're very risk friendly, risk tolerance is high, very confident in their ability. They're not worried about losing their job. They'll go find another job if this doesn't work out. They like to experiment and fail. And, you know, you need both types of people in the organization. And I think that then how do we create enterprise entrepreneurs within this organization so that those senior level executive initiatives and the goals that they have, and even though they communicate at 10x of what, you know, you should communicate, communication is not everything. It's getting people on board and helping them understand using the customer voice. This is the reason why we are here. And I think that's one of the things I love about my company is that we are so focused on the customer's experience, the customer's voice, the sales experience, the partner's experience. It is challenging overall, but at the DNA of my company is the customer and the partner, and we bend over backwards and try to do our best for them every day. So that's another area that I'm definitely going to be exploring and researching on. But I think for me, it's engage, engage, engage. Don't hesitate to engage with somebody who you might feel is adversarial, because in 3 months you'll be best friends. Yeah. So, you know, through the engagement. So I think that it's just, we've got to find ways to help people move forward through that sort of trough and get to the peaks.
Yeah. I love it. I love that. So powerful. So what's the one sales experience you've had that you can say is magic?
I think that for me, it's really listening to the customer's needs and their pain points and solving for that and going beyond what you're selling as a solution. Now, think about one of the business challenges that I have now is that in general, you may have an ability to move forward with a certain initiative, but you may not have the right talent on board today to help execute that, right? So you actually cannot do it because you don't have the skill sets. From a vendor perspective, the vendor I'm working with, I'll be asking them for outside the box help and thinking and like, hey, you want me to use your platform? You need to help me solve my problem here. This is not your problem. It's my problem, but I need you to help me solve it. And I think that's the way that I have seen us overall really excel and delight the customer is that when you look at the problem, you're not looking at it just from the lens of, oh, well, maybe how many servers do they need? Or, you know, what kind of service levels do they want on their contracts? It's if that's the relationship, it's transactional. Mm-hmm. Like you have to understand what the customer's really trying to solve and help them solve that. And that may mean that you have to go outside and of your particular sales quota remit to solution that for them. But there's all kind of books out there, the Ritz-Carlton Experience, Roll Out the Red Carpet, you know, Delight the Customer, Surprise Them on the Upside. I mean, that's how you do those things. It's not by, you know, selling them your products and services alone, right? Because everybody's doing that.
Right.
It's how do you differentiate yourself to help solve pain points? And once you do that, you have loyalty for almost for it forever, because they'll remember that.
You do. And just going to let that soak in a minute. That's very profound. So what is your growing edge?
So my growing edge, going back to just being a lifelong learner, I'm really interested in researching a few of these topics, you know, some we talked about today, enterprise entrepreneurship, how to make or how to bridge the gap between, you know, senior level executive initiatives versus, you know, the gaps in execution that, you know, we experience every day. And really writing about that, putting my thoughts on paper, helping others implement down the road. I'm really looking forward to that as a growing edge. So something that I was inspired to do, you know, recently by a colleague who did that. And it got me thinking, where do I grow from here? And the only way I could figure out to grow from here was to go deeper into a couple of these interesting topics. And so only two or three, but really going deep and adding some value to business through that, and mass appeal. So those are some of the things I'll be working on over the next 3 years.
Well, we look forward to hearing about it and knowing more about what you're doing. So thank you, Chris. This was an incredible conversation, and it's certainly given me a lot of things to go deeper in my practice. So thank you very much.
Jay, thank you for having me today. It's been great to connect with you again after, you know, so many years.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Sales Magic. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss an episode. Learn more about the Business Champion Program at JackieLyles.com and across social media platforms.